Job chapter number 1, we're going to read first in verse number 1 and then skip down to verse number 8. So the Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." Now skip with me down to verse number 8 if you would. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the reading of your word. Lord, just thank you for the Bible, Lord, and everything that it gives to us. Lord, just how it can be a help to us on our daily walk. Lord, just how it can be a help in our lives and when we're facing things. Lord, I ask you to just help us tonight, Lord. As Lord, just was such an encouragement to me, what you've given me. Lord, I just ask you help me to convey it to your people, to be an encouragement to them, that each and every one of us, Lord, can walk out of here tonight closer to you than what we was and came in. That we go out being on fire for God and see a change upon this community, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing we'll look at by way of introduction, I wasn't supposed to get a piece of ice. As we see in verse number 1, we see just simply it talks about there was a man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. We have to understand this isn't some supernatural being. Job isn't some supernatural person. He isn't some angelic being. He is simply a man. Just like any of us here tonight, a man or a woman. Any of us here tonight could go through the exact same thing that Job has. We could also come out on the other side the exact same way that Job does if we're here and know the story. You know, there's nothing in our lives that's preventing us from going through the same thing. So this is where the Bible should be an encouragement to us, to see the how God blessed Job and how God got Job through what he got him through. And if we'll sit down and be honest with ourselves, there's nothing here tonight we're going through that's worse than what Job had. No matter how bad it may seem, and understand that, you know, our problems always seem way bigger than what they should because there are problems. That's my problem, what's going on. It's, you know, but we can look at Job's life and look at other people in the Bible and see how God got them through and understand Job was just a man, just like us. And we see him get through. We see the second thing in the fact of, we see in verse number 8, we think about that Satan had Job on his mind. We see him being mindful. And he says, and the Lord said unto Satan, or the Lord had it said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? So the Lord is the one that went to Satan and says, well, here, how about Job? So the Lord had him on his mind, and he presented him before Satan on what to do. But we see lastly in the way of introduction, the master plan that we know about. And we know you could read through the rest of chapter number 1, and you see everything that happens. All those people that come to Job and tell him this is gone and that's gone, and only I survived to come and tell you what happened. We see the master plan that took care of that took place in his life. The same as us, that can have anything happen tomorrow that we're not aware of. That we have no idea what's going to happen. You think of those school shootings that Brother Jordan talked about praying for that's happened this week. Think of those phone calls that some of those parents got, as he said yesterday. You know, Miss Tina watched the video last night talking about a dad that had just dropped off his daughter and was less than a mile from the school when she called him. And he said, that's not a phone call you ever want to get. Dad, there's a shooting. We have no idea what tomorrow can hold of what God, but we have to understand it is all part of God's master plan. God knows exactly what we need. And we see in God's master plan, we have to understand that God's in control. No matter what happens, God's in control. And you get down and look at Job chapter number 2 and verse number 10, the verse we all know. We'll just go ahead and read verse number 9. It said, Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. When I was thinking, when God laid this thought upon my heart a couple weeks ago, and I started looking at different things and thinking about it, what a teaching moment that Job had right here in his life, not only with his wife, but then with his three friends that we're going to see that come in. And that's what I want to teach on tonight, is just simply that question. What are you teaching? What are you teaching? And I'm not talking about, yes, what are we teaching to the world? Yes, absolutely, what are we teaching to the lost? But what are we teaching to even just the ones around us? What are we teaching our family? What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching Miss Brooke, who went out? What are we teaching Zach? What are we teaching Caitlin? What are we teaching brother little Daniel? But what are we teaching the kids that are around us when they look to us? What do they see? What am I teaching Miss Caitlin? What am I teaching Bella? When they see me on a daily basis, what are we teaching all those around us that we come in contact on a daily basis? And I got five things that we're going to look at, and then we're going to go back and look something a little bit different also after those five things. But the first one is, are we teaching them holiness? When you think of holiness and break it down, one of the things I found definitions of holiness, and when you look at holy, is to be set apart for God's purposes. And then you look at holiness, the habit of being one mind with God. Creating a habit of being one mind with God. Do we create that habit of the things when it comes to the things of God? In Luke chapter 1 verses 74 through 75 said that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of our hand of enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Do we live a holiness or live holy lives before God on a daily basis? It talked about what just I cannot get off my mind here is the fact of that word habits. Do we make it a habit of doing what God would have us to do? Do we make it a habit every day of being one mind with God? I'm not going to tell you got to read our devotion or anybody's devotion when you first get up, but it would do us a lot of good, and I have found it helps me a lot when the first thing you do in the morning when you get up is spend time with God. You sit down and spend time with him, whether it's a minute in prayer, whether you got time to spend 30 minutes in devotion, or whatever it may be. If you'll spend time with him and make that a habit, how much better it can help you the rest of your day. Do we teach that to our kids? Do we teach that holiness to those around us? When you think of living holy, and I got to thinking about just how we live our life on a daily basis, what do people see in us? Do they see holiness in our talk? What do we, you know, we always hear about and you always joke about having the preacher for lunch on Sundays. Our kids pick up those things. Our kids know those things. If you live out of here tonight and want to talk about me, that's fine. But if you leave out and talking about our pastor, you got a problem. We shouldn't be having our pastor for lunch because our kids see these things. If we're talking about somebody else on the phone, our kids hear us in the other room running. And it don't have to be running somebody down the road, but what are they getting out from us? What is it that they learn? You know, we have seen, as you know, I kept running through this the past 2 days in my head. You see two school shootings in a matter of a week here. What could we do different if we lived holy lives before people and they knew they could come to us for something different? I understand completely that we have no idea. You know, we had this conversation before church after prayer this evening, and we got to talking, and I said, you know, we can sit and we can talk about somebody all we want, but you have no idea what you would do faced in that situation that boy was in. By all accounts, he was bullied, his parents got divorced and whatever, and that is no excuse to shoot anybody. But we have no idea how we would handle certain situations. We have no clue. We can sit and we can say we're super holy and we're super spiritual. We have no idea how we would react in a certain situation. But what if that young boy, what if that other one in Texas, or what if anybody around us, we have no idea who could be around us today in our lives being faced with that breaking point. I have no idea who I could be with, who I could work with at work that I don't know what they're going through, but they could be at that breaking point. Do we live holy lives before them that they can look at our life and say, you know what, Brother Josh is different. Brother Josh has got something that I need, and before I do something stupid, maybe I should go talk to him. Maybe I should go see what he's got that can help me. Do we live holy lives? Do we teach people about holy lives before us? The second thing is graciousness, which is just simply kindness. And we should repay the kindness that we have. And we could find all kinds of verses along these lines. But in Psalms chapter 103 and verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Are we gracious to other people? Do we show kindness? You know, one of the things that at the work camp this past Saturday night, Brother Charles, isn't that right? That his wife is the one that's been coming. We've been trying to pick up on Sunday mornings. He was talking about she went to another church a little closer to where she lived. And he told me that she called him that night after, or the cut Sunday after church, slow down, and said that She said, I've never been to a church like this. And he said, what do you mean, was it that good? She goes, no, it was that bad. She goes, I fully expected to be the only black person in the church. But nobody shook her hand. Nobody. The only person that shook her hand was the pastor who stood at the back door on the way out. Never asked her name, never said anything, just thanks for coming, have a good night, good day, and go on. What kind of graciousness are we showing people in this world? What kind of kindness are we showing people? Do we show them, and are we teaching our children about how to be kind one to another? Do we go out of our way to be kind? Just something simple as maybe opening a door for somebody. Just something simple. You know, it could be simple things in our life that we can use to teach our kids or teach others around us that we are different and live holy lives to God and be gracious one to another. The third thing, and I understand that we get this a lot, and I understand that we're here on a Wednesday night, but God told me to write it down, so I wrote it down. Faithfulness. Do we teach faithfulness? Not only just faithfulness to church, not only just faithfulness here, because if your neighbors know, we always heard this, if your neighbors know that you go to church, when you don't go, they know also. They're watching. They're watching if you leave on Sunday nights or you go on Wednesday nights. They might watch and see what you come out dressed in, those kind of things. But what are we teaching even just those around us to the things of God? Not just about attendance, but just to the things of God. What are we teaching our kids about maybe tithing? What are we teaching our kids about reading and studying God's Word? Do we spend time in God's Word? Do our kids know that we study? Do our friends know that we study the Bible? Do we ever talk to them about it? What is it that they see in our life that we can show that we are faithful to the things of God? Not just faithful in attendance, but faithful to simply the things of God. The fourth thing is just simply, do we teach them that there's power in prayer? The one thing I love about our church, we can come here on Wednesday night and we give prayer requests, and you know that we teach and we know that people know that we're a praying church. That's why we have so many prayer requests. How many times do we get people, somebody at my work asked me to pray because they know that we pray. But we can go through the Bible and you think about the power in just simple prayers. Look at the king Nebuchadnezzar and David and Daniel in the lion's den. Just spent the night prayer fasting and see that Daniel wakes up. He gets up the next morning and goes in and Daniel's like, hey, I'm fine. Ain't nothing bothering me. Our pastor preached out of it just a few weeks ago. And you think about the simple prayer that Elijah said, that seen fire fall down from heaven and consume everything in that offering. Do we show those people there's power in prayer? You know, Miss Cinda just talked about being thankful that God touched touched Brother Jack, and thankful that Sister Mary's cancer wasn't any worse. Do we show those things about how the powerful prayer can be? Are we willing to admit, and I don't remember now who it was, now I'm trying to remember who it was that talked about some little boy that got help, I believe it was this past Sunday night or last Wednesday, and so they was quick to tell him, said, because, you know, prayer worked. Prayer helped me. God is the one that helped me through this, and I can't remember now what it was, just popped into my mind. But how much do we go back and tell people, yeah, it's because of prayer. It's because God's people were praying. That's why certain things happen. And the fifth thing, do we teach people about the peace of God? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 7, we all know the verse, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When people are, whether we like it or not, people are watching our lives. And I was thinking about this today at work and going through this and what God laid in my heart and what to say, and I got to thinking about years ago Charles Barkley came out and said that he wasn't to be your kid's role model. And that's fine, and he shouldn't be. But the fact of the matter is, our kids look up to those sports heroes or those people who may be on TV or whatever. They look at those people and they become their heroes, so to speak. Whether he likes it or not, that's what some people looked up to. Whether we like it or not, people are watching our lives. They are watching every day what we do, how we react to certain things. What are we teaching them? Are we teaching them the peace of God? Are we teaching them that when something happens to us like Job, even half of what happened like Job, do we fall apart? Do we quit going to church? Do we start going to church only half the time? Do we quit showing that life and exemplifying that life of holiness, of graciousness? And are we like Job is here when he talks to his wife in verses 9 and 10? Or do we just fall apart and give up on church and quit going, and they look at our lives and say, he didn't have nothing different, Brother Jordan. He's no different than anybody else. What are we teaching them when we're around other people in our life. When we think of teaching, and you think of teachers, and you think of going to school, and just bear with me, I'm like Brother Doug talked about, I have a vivid imagination. So a lot of things that God tried to pinpoint here. Here's our problem. Is I think we come to church, and we have all the best intentions of what we want to do, but unfortunately we treat Monday through Saturday, or not even that, we treat the rest of the week, besides the 3 or 4 hours we're here on Sunday, or 4 or 5 hours, whatever it may be, and the hour or two we're here on Wednesday nights, everything else to us is a big recess. We just like to play. It's just a big recess. We're holy, we're gracious when we come to church, when we're around God's people, maybe even when we go out to eat with God's people after church on Sundays or whatever, but the rest of the week we just treat as a big recess. So instead of teaching people about holiness, we teach him about haughtiness, arrogant, just an arrogant spirit about us, just up our nose at other people. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. What do they see? Do they look at us? Do we look at other people? Do they look at us, unfortunately, as like, well, they think they're better than we are because they go to church? How much of that goes on? How much, you'd be amazed at times, how many times you get down at the jail, how many stories you get of churches that are calling them and telling them, we don't want you to come back. How is that being treated? I'm not talking about people who are living wickedly in sin. They go before the church after a while and they refuse. I'm talking about people, as soon as they get in trouble at church, we have no use for you. We don't want you to come back. I've heard that story on more than one occasion. Looking down on other people. You know, it amazed me. I seen something today, and I clicked on, and it was a story about this whole shooting down and that was in Marshall County, and it talked about the people, how much they was just, I mean, just name-calling this boy that did it. Yes, it is terrible what he did, but we should still have love and compassion on him. He still needs help. And there's other people around him. There's other people in our world that still need help. There's other people that are on the verge of that breaking point. But we too many times act like we're better than we are. Well, we're saved, or we go to church, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. And we look down and we show them just a haughty, arrogant spirit. Or not only are we not gracious, we're greedy. Just as faithfulness, we always go back to thinking faithfulness is going to church, we automatically think greediness has to do with money. What about just with our time? What if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, can I talk? Hey, maybe in a little bit. Call me back tomorrow. Let me get a hold of you tomorrow. How greedy are we with our time when we're not willing to give anything of our time with? How greedy are we with our time, as I alluded to, and I'm thankful for the church. We have everything that helps out. But how greedy are we when we have people that are giving up many, many hours of their day, of their week, to things of the church, and we don't give it a second thought? But we'll be quick to complain if we come in, there's a piece of paper in the floor. Or we'll be quick to complain if there's a dead flower out front. Or we'll be quick to complain about there's a crack in the wall, or whatever it may be. I don't mean to make on the crack in the wall, Brother Ray. I just looked up and it was there. But we're quick to complain because we're greedy with our time. We want all my time for myself. I don't have time for anybody else. I don't have time to help ask if somebody needs help in Sunday school, or somebody needs a break in the back on Sunday night so they can come in and get service. I don't have time for those kind of things. Greedy with our time when it comes just to the world. People who you can look in their face and you can see that they're empty. You can look them in the eye and know that they need something. We don't bother to ask them how their day is. And when they say, oh, hey, I'm good, then we say, look, I can tell by looking at you, Miss Marcy. You got something going on. I'm here. You can talk to me. We say, okay, and go right on. I'm glad they didn't say anything because I didn't want to stand there and have to listen to their problem for the next 15 minutes. That's how we are. We don't realize it at times. We don't think about it at times because we just get about our busy day. But that's how we are. We're greedy with our time. We're greedy with just the things that we have going on in life. And that's what we teach people. That's what we teach our kids. That's what we're teaching those around us, that we don't have time for those things. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. And you know, we talked about, Brother, my right to my claim to myself. It's all about me. Yeah, I ain't got time for you because I got problems of my own. I got this going on. I got that going on. Me. And we're just not gracious with anything. We're greedy with everything that we have. We get to faithfulness. Instead of teaching them about faithfulness, we teach them about falling away. It is amazing to me how many, and we've heard this many times before, how many churches will cancel because of any little bitty thing. I seen something today. I pulled up the Nine News app on my phone. I opened up the app, and there was already a church that was going to be closed. All activity canceled for the day. Seriously? For what little bit of whatever it was spitting and doing ever since last night at whatever time? Really? What does the world see? What does the world see when you have all these churches that in 2 weeks or a week and a half or 10 or 11 days, whatever, will be canceled to stay home and watch the Super Bowl? Or they'll have the Super Bowl playing at their church that night. Everybody come in and watch Super Bowl. What is that telling the world? That's not teaching them nothing about faithfulness in God. That's not teaching anything of how to get help. We've allowed the world to infiltrate our churches and infiltrate our lives, and we have a great falling away. And that's what we've taught those people. It's not that important. No, I didn't go to church this day, or I didn't go that day because I had this going on. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching when we say, well, this is more important, this has got something else to do, whatever it may be? We teach them a great falling away. The fourth thing, are we teaching them, what are we showing? We take a recess when we're not here, and unfortunately it leaves many prayers unanswered. In James chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. How many lost people are there today? How many lost people do we come in contact with that have prayers unanswered because of our unfaithfulness? We didn't ask, yeah, I'll pray for you, and we never mentioned it. Or we told them we would pray for them. I don't think I have any prayer requests written down in here right now. But we just go before God, okay, I told Brother Jordan I was going to pray for whatever it was he wanted me to pray for, so there you go, I prayed for it. What does that do? But that's our attitude. We write it down. We'll write down all the prayer requests tonight. Do we truly take them before God, get hold of the horns of the altar, and pray for those things, or is it just a list? It's no different than our grocery list. We read it off. Yep, here's what I'm going to pray for, because that's what I said. How many of those prayers are unanswered? How many lost do we have today that could possibly be saved if we were faithful to pray the way we should? How can we say that we believe in the power of prayer and we don't spend any more time in prayer than we do? That we don't spend any more time truly on our knees, weeping, desiring to see God move upon certain things. He's done it many times, even in our lack of unfaithfulness. What could he do if we was more faithful? What could he do if we did spend more time? What could he do if those people did come to us and we didn't say, yes, I will pray for you, Brother Mark? We went back to them, and when something happened, say, I told you I would pray for you. I don't know if I ever shared this or not, but I had a gentleman in our church, gentleman at my work, that I just happened to overhear a conversation that he had one day. And he was talking about him and his wife was about to split up and everything was going on. And I walked up to him, Brother Jordan. I was like, look, I wasn't being nosy, but you was carrying on a pretty loud conversation and I heard you. I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And he says, well, he said, supposedly a lot of people are. He said, but it ain't getting through because nothing's changing. Pretty scary. Okay. Less than a week later, come, just prayed for him. I'm not anybody special. I didn't pray the way I should have. Probably didn't pray no more than one or two times for him that week, not making sure that I prayed every day for him. A week later, he comes back to me, Brother Clint, in secret. Hey, I just want to let you know I appreciate you praying because whatever you did got through because we're working things out. That's what God can do if we're faithful to pray. Do we tell them, hey, I prayed for you, man. I told you I would. And I went back to him since then. Hey, I'm still praying for you that everything works out and everything continues on the path that it's going. And now I just tell them, I appreciate it. When we tell them those things, we can see. We might not, I don't know, he might not ever get saved. He might not ever be at our church. But when we tell them those things, we make a difference in their lives. And you know, they might just get to that point. You know what? He's different because he did pray and things did work out. Maybe I do need to inquire more about what he's got. And the last thing, and I'll be done. Too many times, they look at our lives, and we're supposed to be set apart, and we're supposed to be holy, and we're supposed to be faithful, and instead of showing them the peace of God, we're prisoners of worry. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Where is our faith? Where is our faith? I did the, if you read the devotion, I did the devotion on Monday. What's your faith tied to? Where is our faith? Do we teach people that there is power in prayer, that there is things to be that be faithful to God? Do we teach them about the peace of God? Or are we become, when we're on our recess, when we're not here, do we show them how to be prisoners of worry? We sit and we twiddle, we bite our fingernails, and we're so worried about everything. Where's our faith? Brother Lawrence talked about it last Wednesday night, getting all fired up that he wasn't worried about money. I'm not going to talk about my underwear, so don't worry about that. But we get all worried about everything. Every little bitty thing that goes wrong, we get worried about. And I'll tell them myself. I thought about this. I'll tell them myself. I'm a firm believer. Brother Jordan probably tell you, anybody else who's a preacher tell you, God gave this to me long before he told me to give it to you. Then I didn't even think about it till now. I walk into work this morning. I've been working for probably about an hour and a half, and I see a text message from what is actually kind of like my boss there, and he wants me to come up to a different spot. So I go up there, and he's like, hey, I'm going to have to pull you, and I need you to help me today. He said, Norm's out sick. It's okay. So I walk out of one building, go down the next one. First thing I did, Miss Annette, I called Tina. How good's the flu shot that I got? Because one of the guys, he just got diagnosed with the flu. Do I need to get Tamiflu or something else? And so we go through that whole thing. What was I worried for? God's going to take care. Whether I had the flu shot, whether I had 10 flu shots, or whether I didn't get it. If God wants me to get the flu, I'm going to get the flu, Brother Jordan. Whether I'm around anybody or whether I'm not around anybody, I'm going to get the flu if that's what God wants. But that's how we are. We get so worried about anything that goes on instead of just giving it to God and saying, God, here it is. I can't control it. There's nothing I can do about it. God, here it is. You do with it what you want, and I'm going to go on about my day and enjoy myself. But no, we teach the world about prisoners of worry. We're supposed to be saved. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be set apart. And they look at our lives, and they don't see any different than what they have. They look at our lives, and they see the exact same worry on our face that's on theirs. You want something to, you know, it is amazing how just the slightest little thing can get us out of church. The slightest little thing can get us out of His Word. The slightest little thing can keep us from doing exactly what God wants us to do. Job had lost everything and used that as a moment. Not only did he teach his wife about some integrity, but taught his three friends too as they came along. And here it is over 2,000 years later. I believe if I read correctly, that is believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. So well over probably 2,000 years later, we can look at that, and he's still teaching us. What are we teaching? Are we teaching how to be holy? Are we teaching how to be gracious, how to be faithful, how to be these things? Or are we just on recess when we're outside of here? And instead, we teach everybody the complete opposite.